3 days before Christmas, Alice sat in the waiting room of the Memory Disorders Unit at Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston, pretending to read Health magazine. Instead, she observed the others who waited. They were all in pairs. A woman who looked 20 years older than Alice sat next to a woman who looked at least 20 years older than her, most likely her mother. A woman with big, unnaturally black hair and big gold jewelry talked loudly and slowly in a thick Boston accent to her father, who sat in a wheelchair and never looked up from his perfectly white shoes. A bony, silver-haired woman flipped pages of a magazine too quickly to be reading anything next to an overweight man with matching hair and a resting tremor in his right hand. Probably husband and wife. The wait to hear her name took forever and seemed longer. Dr. Davis had a young, hairless face. He wore black-rimmed glasses and a white lab coat, unbuttoned. He looked like he used to be thin, but his lower torso slumped a bit beyond the outline of his open coat, reminding Alice of Tom's comments about the poor health habits of physicians. He sat in a chair behind his desk and invited her to have a seat across from him. "So, Alice, tell me what's been going on." "I've been having lots of problems remembering, and it doesn't feel normal. I'm forgetting words in lectures and conversation. I need to put cognition class on my to-do list, or I might forget to go teach it. I completely forgot to go to the airport for a conference in Chicago and missed my flight. I also didn't know where I was for a couple of minutes once in Harvard Square, and I'm a professor at Harvard. I'm there every day." "How long have these things been going on?" "Since September, maybe this summer." "Alice, did anyone come here with you?"
"No."
"Okay. In the future, you're going to have to bring a family member or someone who sees you regularly in with you. You're complaining about a problem with your memory. You may not be the most reliable source of what's been going on." She felt embarrassed, like a child, and his words, "in the future," harassed her every thought, commanding obsessive attention, like water dripping from a faucet. "Okay," she said. "Are you taking any kind of medicine?"
"No, just a multivitamin."
"Any sleeping pills, diet pills, drugs of any kind?"
"No."
"How much do you drink?"
"Not a lot. One or two glasses of wine with dinner."
"Are you a vegan?"
"No."
"Have you had any sort of past injury to your head?"
"No."
"Have you had any surgeries?"
"No."
"How are you sleeping?"
"Perfectly fine."
"Have you ever been depressed?"
"Not since I was a teenager."
"How's your stress level?"
"The usual. I thrive under stress."
"Tell me about your parents. How's their health?"
"My mother and sister died in a car accident when I was 18. My father died of liver failure last year."
"Hepatitis?"
"Cirrhosis. He was an alcoholic."
"How old was he?"
71.
"Did he have any other problems with his health?"
"Not that I know of. I didn't really see much of him over the last several years."
"And when she did, he was incoherent, drunk."
"What about other family?"
She relayed her limited knowledge of her extended family's medical history.
"Okay, I'm going to tell you a name and address, and you're going to repeat it back to me. Then we're going to do some other things, and I'm going to ask you to repeat the same name and address again later.
Ready? Here it is. John Black, 42 West Street, Brighton. Can you repeat that for me?"
She did.
"How old are you?"
50.
"What is today's date?"
December 22nd, 2003.
"What season is it?"
"Winter."
"Where are we right now?"
8th floor, MGH.
"Can you name some of the streets near here?"
"Cambridge, Fruit, Starrow Drive."
"Okay, what time of day is it?"
"Late morning."
"Name the months backward from December."
She did.
"Count backward from 100 by 6.
He stopped her at 76.
"Name these objects."
He showed her a series of 6 cards with pencil drawings on them.
"Hammock, feather, key, chair, cactus, glove."
Okay, before pointing to the window, touch your right cheek with your left hand. She did. Can you write a sentence about today's weather on this piece of paper? She wrote, "It is a sunny but cold winter morning." Now draw a clock and show the time as 20 minutes to 4. She did. And copy this design. He showed her a picture of two intersecting pentagons. She copied them. Okay, Alice, hop up on the table. We're going to do a neurological exam. She followed his pen light with her eyes. She tapped her thumbs and pointer fingers together rapidly. She walked heel to toe in a straight line across the room. She did everything easily and quickly. Okay, what was that name and address I told you earlier? John Black. She stopped and searched Dr. Davis's face. She couldn't remember the address. What did that mean? Maybe she just hadn't paid close enough attention. It's Brighton, but I can't remember the street address. Okay, is it 24, 28, 42, or 48? She didn't know. Take a guess. 48? Was it North Street, South Street, East Street, or West Street? South Street? His face and body language didn't expose whether she'd guessed right, but if she had to guess again, that wasn't it. Okay, Alice, we have your recent blood work and MRI. I want you to go for some additional blood work and a lumbar puncture. You're going to come back in 4 to 5 weeks, and you'll have an appointment for neuropsychological testing on that same day before you see me. What do you think is going on? Is this just normal forgetting? I don't think it is, Alice, but we need to investigate it further. She looked him directly in the eye. A colleague of hers had once told her that eye contact with another person for more than 6 seconds without looking away or blinking revealed a desire for either sex or murder. She reflexively hadn't believed this, but it had intrigued her enough to test it out on various friends and strangers. To her surprise, with the exception of John, one of them always looked away before the 6 seconds was up. Dr. Davis looked down at his desk after 4 seconds. Arguably, this meant only that he wanted neither to kill her nor tear her clothes off, but she worried that it meant more. She would get prodded and assayed, scanned and tested, but she guessed that he didn't need to investigate anything further. She'd told him her story, and she couldn't remember John Black's address. He already knew exactly what was wrong with her.